Okay, good morning po ulit. Magandang umaga po sa inyong lahat. I will be sharing to you one of the messages that we have in San Carlos, our outreach in San Carlos. We have actually started a series on the Gospel of Mark. And so if you have your Bibles, please open your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 1, verse 1 to 8. Mark chapter 1, verse 1 to 8. So I entitled this message, The King's Messenger. The King's Messenger. And while you are flipping your cell phone, looking at the text, or while you are turning the pages of your Bible to Mark chapter 1, verse 1 to 8, the Gospel of Mark was written, of course, by John Mark. His name was first mentioned in the Bible in Acts chapter 12, verse 12. No, and that incident was when Peter was in prison and the Lord released him from that prison. The first thing that he did was to go to the house of Mary, into the house of John Mark. So that was the first mention of the author of this gospel. John Mark actually was the deserter. If you know the history or the story of the book of Acts, he was the mark, the deserter, but of course, by the grace of God, he was later on repented and then reinstated into the work of ministry. And he was affirmed and beloved by both Peter and Paul. Mark actually was discipled by Peter himself. In his book, in his letter, in the letter of Peter, the second letter of Peter, Peter called him my son, which tells us the kind of close relationship between Peter the Apostle and John Mark. And so it is no wonder that John Mark got his information about the Messiah from one of the closest and dearest friend and disciple of Christ, none other than Simon Peter. Okay, kumbaga ang source ni John Mark when he penned this gospel, the source is none other than Simon Peter. Because Simon Peter discipled John Mark after the incident of desertion. Mark wrote actually the gospel for the Roman Christians who were suffering persecution. And at that time when Mark wrote this gospel, many of the disciples, many of the believers were suffering from adversities. They were on the run because of the persecution. So just imagine how hard at that time to live as a believer. Today, we live in a free country, isn't it? And to say you are a Christian is an open declaration, open confession that you are a believer. But then, when you say you are a Christian, you are coming from the sect of Christ, then you are actually inviting death. You are inviting persecution. And so Mark wrote this gospel, a gospel written in a fast-paced manner for the Roman believers, those who are under persecution. And his purpose is to establish their faith amidst difficulties and adversities by giving them stories of Jesus. And so yan ang kanyang pong purpose. Yan ang gusto ho ni Mark. Given that these people were under pressure, Mark wanted to establish their faith by giving them snippets of the story of Christ. Mga mabilisan, mga summarized versions. Unlike Matthew, unlike Luke, napaka-detalyado because of the context of that time. And so Mark wrote this gospel in a very fast pace. Hinalis na ho niya, he removed the genealogy because again, the audience were Romans. Wala silang pakialam sa Jewish genealogy. So mabilisan po. Given also that condition, then it is but proper to write a gospel story about Jesus in a very fast-paced. And so, brethren, that's why if you look at Mark chapter 1, verse 1, it says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Even the introductory words of John Mark of this gospel were a summary of the whole story. This is the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And if you know your Bibles, that phrase Son of God obviously refer to the divinity of Jesus Christ. He is the second person of the divinity. But I believe, and many scholars believe, that the emphasis of Mark, listen to this, the emphasis of Mark is to present Jesus as the only Messiah. He is the long promised in the Old Testament, fulfilled in the New Covenant. Actually po, brethren, the culmination, the climax of this story, the book reached its point in Mark chapter 8, verse 29, when Peter confessed that this Jesus is indeed the Christ. This Jesus indeed is the Messiah. Even the central passage of this gospel, and the central passage of this gospel is in Mark chapter 10, verse 45. Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve as a ransom for many. That also phrase, Son of Man, a title mentioned in Daniel chapter 7, but in the minds of the Jews, that is understood referring to the Messiah. And so the whole theme of this gospel is presenting Jesus as the only Messiah. He is the long-awaited Christ. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. He is our Savior, our Redeemer. He is the only anointed one. He's the only source of your salvation. He is, and He is alone. Umuulan, ako. And so today, brethren, my purpose, my aim, my desire, my prayer is to strengthen you, your faith, by presenting to you from this section in the beginning of Mark about a certain particular person, a particular person that is John the Baptist, in order for us to be convinced that Jesus indeed is the real Messiah. So my desire, brethren, is that as you are listening now, your faith will be strengthened. Your faith will be built up as we study with that specific details about our Lord's circumstances, even in the life of His messenger, and that is John the Baptist. And so let us now take a look at Mark chapter 1, verse 1 to 8. Let us read now. I will be reading from the English Standard Version, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." And John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. And now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt, leather belt around his waist, and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." There are three notable information about this messenger. First, we will look at the prophecy about the messenger. Second, we will look at the preaching of the messenger. And lastly, we will look at the profile or the person of this messenger. Now, don't worry if you have not wrote down this outline, because we will look at them one by one. First, we will look at the prophecy or the prediction about the messenger in verse 2 to 3. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger ahead of you." Just to put it straight, brethren, the one who is being referred to here, the messenger, is none other than John the Baptizer. There are a lot of John. When I preach this message in San Carlos, one person approached me, "Buti na lang, Pastor, you preach that, because ang daming John." Nanjan. John Mark, Apostle John. Okay? Ang dami hong John. Oh, meron pong John ho na alam po natin talaga, siya po ay nagsulat po ng John, the Gospel of John. And also, we know for the fact that this John, the baptizer, was the cousin of our Lord Messiah. So, Mark started his account by referring to the book of Isaiah or to Isaiah the prophet. John the baptizer was prophesied in the Old Testament, and that is so significant. Why? Because, brethren, the coming of the Messiah was not a spur of the moment idea of God. Please change the N to A. Spur of the moment idea of God. Hindi po nagkamali ang Panginoon. Hindi po niya sinabi na, ay nako, nakalimutan ko. Sige na nga, ipadala ko si John the Baptist. Kailangan pala siya kasi siya yung pagiging taga-mensahero ng ating Mesiyas. No. Brethren, the coming of the Messiah was a definite plan. It was formed before the ages. And it was fulfilled at the right time. The coming of Christ, it is an event that has a clear purpose. God was so deliberate that even in the Genesis account, He was already fulfilling a plan. Your salvation, Jesus' story, the gospel story, the whole biblical account, it is not a matter of emergency. It is not something na nagkamali ang Panginoon. God was accidental. Jesus, John the Baptist coming is incidental so that the promise will be fulfilled. No, it was already planned by God because your salvation, Jesus' story, the whole Bible account, it was a definite plan. You see, brethren, there are two greatest events in human history. And that is obviously the first coming of the Messiah and His return. Now, these events are so significant because of the fact that the sovereign King who created all things came to be with His creation. Imagine you, the one who created all things will be with us. Now, these events are so significant because of the fact that the sovereign King came. And so because of this, the whole biblical account anticipate the coming of the Messiah. There's a single story, brethren. There's a unified theme of the Bible. And that is the salvation, the glory of God in salvation. And part of it, a little detail God included. So that as we study this, you will be convinced that your God, my God, is true. Maliit na detalye ho in the life of John the Baptist. And I hope and pray that your faith will be strengthened as we go through with this message. And here, brethren, when Mark started with the prophecy in Isaiah, Mark wanted to tell his readers, who are the audience? Who are the audience? The Roman Christians, right? They live in a context of myth and tales, right? Mark wanted to tell his readers that the Jesus' story is a reliable, true story. That what you believe, that what we have received as true is indeed true. When Mark presented John the Baptist as one who has been fulfilled from the book of Isaiah, Mark was telling the Roman Christians who live in a context where so many myths, so many deceptions, fables, Mark was telling to them that your faith is true. And Peter affirmed this, knowing that the source document or the source of Mark was Peter. Look at your Bible, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, it tells us that Peter confessed that they did not follow cleverly devised myth when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Now, Peter was reminding these persecuted believers that what we have received and what we are telling you were not human-made myth. When we say myth, when we say fables, these are stories with no solid footing. Walang pundasyon. Wala hong matibay ho na pundasyon. What Peter meant here is that what we have as believers is a story based on a solid foundation. Jesus' story did not come from cleverly human-made myth. It was already planned by God even from the beginning, Genesis chapter 3, and it will be culminated, it will be affirmed in Revelations. And brethren, to establish this point, there were actually two biblical prophecies on the herald of the Messiah. There are two biblical prophecies about John the Baptist. Open your Bibles with me, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3 to 5. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3 to 5, it says, "The voice of one calling out, 'Clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness, make straight in the desert a highway for our God.'" And that is in Mark also, di po ba? Who is this voice referring to? That is John the Baptist. And in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1 to 5, in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1 to 5, "Behold, listen! Behold, I am sending my messenger." And that is when we say behold, there's the interjection. That means you have to listen because this is very important. "There will be the messenger who will prepare the way of the Lord." And the messenger being referred to there by Malachi is none other than John the Baptist. And look at me, brethren. Look, tingnan niyo po ako dito sa bagay po na ito because I would like to share something very important here. It might sound technical, but this is very appropriate and this is very, kumbaga, appreciative with regards to biblical timeline. Okay, Isaiah prophesied during 740 hanggang po sa 680 BC. The way we date today, okay, we date the years by having a reference point, and that reference point is the birth of Christ. That's the zero. And today is 2022, coming from birth of Christ. But before, ang kanila pong pagbibigay po ng taon, pabaliktad from 2,500 years, the time of can be Adam, or can be hanggang po pababa po siya. So if you look at your timeline, this is zero. This is probably the time of the birth of Christ. Isaiah is about 740 BC. 740. Okay, mark the date. And then Malachi prophesied 435 to 417 BC. So about 300 years past, Malachi prophesied also that there will be a messenger who will come to prepare for the Lord. 417. And then 400 years, that's the one page of your Bible. 400 years. But they considered it as what? As the silent years before, because Yahweh did not send a prophet to warn the people and to encourage them, to spur them to go back to Yahweh. So wala hong propeta at that time. After that, zero, dumating ang Mesiyas. Dumating si Jesus. Okay? Alalahanin po yung date kasi mahalaga po yon. Okay? And so, brethren, with that date, 740 and then 417 and then Jesus coming, at alam po natin that yung pagdating ng Panginoon, nangyari po yan, mayroon po siyang mesahero. Okay? By the way po, nakalimutan ko, there's a side note here on my outline. 400 years, dyan po nabuo or dyan nasulat yung Apocrypha. Okay? And as believers, listen to this, as believers, we do not recognize apocryphal books as part of the Bible, the Word of God, because one of the compelling reasons why we don't recognize these books is because no one in the New Testament writers or no one in the New Testament writers hinted or directly quoted these apocryphal books. Wala ni isa. Malachi was quoted by Paul in Romans chapter 9. And what is my point, brethren? This is my point. When John came, okay, when John came and claimed that the words of the prophets were fulfilled in him, it was a message that all Jews must have been easily understood. Okay, ulitin ko po, just to make it clear. The Jews recognized and accepted that the last writing prophet in the Old Testament is Malachi. Why? Because in Malachi chapter 4, verse 1 to 6, look at your Bibles, Malachi chapter 4, verse 1 to 6, there is the prophecy about the coming of the Messiah, the reference to that phrase, the day of the Lord. And so for a Jewish mind, it is automatic. It is already, kumbaga, assumed that Malachi, being the last prophet in the Old Testament, they believe and they accepted that the next event will be the coming of the Messiah. And so now, when John the Baptist came and claimed that the words of the prophets Isaiah and Malachi were fulfilled in him, it was a message that the typical Jewish person will not miss. Ah, andyan na! Tinititit! Alam mo, parang ganun ba? Hindi mo na yan mamimiss. Sorry for the visitors. You won't miss it. Yeah, okay. You will not miss it. They have easily understood. Because John already said, I am here, I am baptizing you with the message of repentance, and blah, darating na si Jesus. Darating na ang Messiah. And brethren, Mark was connecting his readers, even as to us today, even his listeners, that Jesus indeed is the Christ, the Son of God, who came to save the world. And this was proven through the fulfilled prophecy given to Isaiah and Malachi in the person of John the Baptist, the messenger, forerunner, of course, the baptizer. Kumbaga, John is the clear indication that the Messiah is coming. Na ang Panginoon, ang ating Panginoon, ang ating pong pinapurihan every Sunday, every day, He is indeed our Messiah. Even this little detail proves that Jesus indeed came as one who is being anointed, the Messiah, the Lord, the King. What did Isaiah say about this messenger? Isaiah and Malachi said that this messenger, John the Baptist, will prepare the way of the Lord. He will is the voice in the wilderness that readies the way of the Lord. And so the prediction, the prophecy was fulfilled, and the prophecy was to announce the coming of the Messiah. Simply put, brethren, John, listen to this, John was ordained by God to prepare the people about the coming King. John proved to be, indeed, one of the manifestations, expressions, that the Messiah has come. And alam po natin po ito, we know this. Ito pong pagiging forerunner, messenger. I am now ministering to the Pangasinan folks at sa amin sa Pangasinan. Every time na mayroong public gathering, there will always be an introductory person to present the guest speaker. Kahit yung simpleng baili. You know the baili? I don't know how to translate that to English. Okay, party, okay. When the guest speaker will come, there will always be, we're blessed that we have this person. He has this educational background. He has these accomplishments. And maybe they're telling that so that to build yung confidence ng tao na yung pakikinggan nila tama at totoo, di ba? Siyempre, kapag ka magtuturo isang tao, tapos hindi pala akma doon sa sasabihin niya, bakit ka pa magkikinig? And so, even today, no, when a person who has an influence visits a particular place, sabi niya, mag-advance party ka muna. Okay, that's the point. Just to understand po, ito po messenger. And so this is so typical even to today's culture. And John announced the coming of the king, brethren. He was the fulfillment of the prophecies which attest that the word of God is true. Brethren, this particular detail will establish, will strengthen your faith. John came to fulfill what has been the plan of God. And if John fulfilled his calling as the forerunner of Christ, it would give us that confidence that what God has promised to us will also be fulfilled. Kung yung itong detalye na ito ay tinupad ng Panginoon, makaasa ka, makasiguro ka kapatid, na lahat ng pangako niya sa iyo, pagdating sa kaligtasan, pagdating sa pagbabago, pagdating sa glorification, He will fulfill. Amen. The Bible is true because our God is true. He fulfilled His promise. He sent the Messiah and He fulfilled that there must be a person who will prepare the way of the Lord, and that is John the Baptist. Brethren, listen to this. The opening verses, two opening verses of Mark assures us as God's people, we can rely on God's word because it is God's word. It is true. His promises are true. His salvation is true. You might wonder, kapag ka hindi ito tinupad ng Panginoon, walang pinadalas ang Panginoon kay John the Baptist, dumating lang ang Mesiyas, then what's the point of that prophecy in the Old Testament? Then that proved that God is unfaithful. And what is the assurance that His love, His power, His grace, His mercy, His justice, His holiness, and even His wrath will be true if that little detail is failed? Amen? Naiintindihan ho ba ninyo ako, mga kapatid? And precisely because God is the God of details, He fulfilled the prophecies, therefore, as believers, we are assured of His love. We are assured of His power, His grace, His mercy, His justice. Because God, our God, your God, is true. Something to think about, brethren. Something to thank the Lord always. Oh, buti na lang, even pala sa detalye na ito, grabe ka, Panginoon. Grabe po kayo. Which will bring us now to the preaching of this messenger. What was John's message? The preaching or the proclamation of John the Baptist. Let us read verse 4. John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. In verse 7, he was preaching saying, after me, one, the Lord one, is coming who is mightier than I. I am not fit to stoop down and untie the strap of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Coming from the wilderness, we know that John was, his mission field was along the banks of the Jordan River. Jordan River extends from the Sea of Galilee, pababa po siya until the Sea of the Dead Sea. Mahaba po yan. And in John chapter 3, parang pabalik-balik po siya doon sa area po na yan. Especially in the area of what we call the Judean Desert, near the Jordan Valley. And what does John do? What did he do? Coming from the wilderness, anong ginagawa po ni John? John, of course, two things na makikita po natin in our English Bibles, it was translated as John the Baptist. Parang acting as a noun, diba? John the Baptist. But actually, in the original language, it is an infinitive that talks about what kind of work John does. John was baptizing and he was proclaiming. So two things ang ginagawa po niya. He was baptizing. First, he was baptizing. And look at me, brethren, because this is important. In order for us to appreciate what John was doing, we need to put ourselves in the context of first century Judaism. Okay? We need to put ourselves thinking like, oh, I'm a Jew. Okay? For just 1 hour, think like a Jew. Okay? And for a Jew, there are three significant events that almost all Jews, especially all men, all Jewish men, will undergo to enjoy the full benefit of Yahweh according to the law. Tatlong bagay. Ang, kumbaga, sa isang Hudyo, normal itong tatlo na ito. Gagawin palagi ho nila. First is what we call circumcision. Now, this is very important, right? Because circumcision, based on Genesis 17, it is a visible expression of the Abrahamic covenant. You won't be part of the community. Hindi ka makakasama pagpuri kay Yahweh. You cannot even enter the temple. Remember when Paul came alongside a Gentile convert, the Jewish men? Talagang naing skandalo po sila. Because at that time, non-Jewish person is prohibited to enter the temple because they are called uncircumcised. Being part of the community, you have to undergo this rite of circumcision. And so for a Jewish person, this is a very significant event. Second, sacrifice. Sacrificial system. We have our devotion, in our family devotion. We have tackled Leviticus chapter 1 to chapter 7. And our kids will always say, paulit-ulit, it is always repeated. If you have sinned, okay, get a lamb, perfect, sinless, spotless, patayin nyo, saksakin mo, and then the blood, sprinkle it to the temple. If you are poor, get a pigeon, and then twist the head. Mga Amerikano, what? That's part of the system because Peter said, there will be no remission of sin apart from the shedding of blood. There must be blood. And that's why, just to give you a patalastas, the new covenant through Christ is a new covenant because there was blood spilled. There was blood spilled. Okay, so first, circumcision. Baka umaba na ako yung patalastas. Second is what? The sacrifice. And the third is the temple cleansing. The ritual of always washing and washing and washing. If you live in Saudi Arabia, you notice this sa lahat ng mga mosque. There will always be a outward physical cleansing. And for a Jewish person, that is normal. What news yan? Walang bago dyan. Yan, palagi na nang ginagawa. And it is a counterpart of what we call baptism. Baptism, which symbolizes a frequent washing of self. And this washing means cleansing from pollution, defilement, uncleanness, and sin. And a typical Jew knew this. It is a ceremony that goes years and years and years until the Messiah. And so, brethren, what was so unique to John's baptism? Pay attention to this because this is very important. So, kung yun ang ginagawa ng mga Hudyo, what was so unique to John's baptism? John was asking this proud Jewish people to be washed again through a different cleansing agent. Okay? For you as a Jewish person to be baptized again apart from the Levitical ritual of cleansing, that would be absurd. That would be question mark. Bakit? Hindi pa ba sapat yon? Kulang pa ba yon? Is that cleansing, that ceremonies, are those insufficient? Are we in the right track here? Is something, kumbaga, may problema ba dito? Sa isang Jewish person, ganun ang kanyang kaisipan. What could possibly add to what was already in place in ritual cleansing? But actually, John the Baptist, his baptism has a purpose. And that purpose is that it portrays the newness of life through faith and repentance. And it was a visible rebuke against legalistic and proud religion of the Jews. The baptism of John, you have to be baptized in a new way, in a sufficient way, in a perfect way, the baptism of repentance and faith in Christ. That would be a visible rebuke to those who are proud. Friend, if you are here and you think that you are sufficient already when it comes to salvation, anyway, I could go to heaven with my own wisdom, with my own religiosity. I can do that. I'm reading my Bible naman anyway. I could go to the church whenever I want. It could be that you are trusting in your own self. You know, the baptism, the message, the baptism, what John did was a rebuke to those who are self-sufficient, proud people. Because John's baptism was different. John's baptism, it was not just an external act. John's baptism, it was not a matter of compliance. Sige, linis ka ng linis. Sige, linis ka ng linis. Wash ka ng wash. Wash ka ng wash. Pero hanggang doon lang. Because John's baptism was a matter of the heart. Because John's baptism, it was not just a physical activity that could last for a moment and unto another one and then it's done. And this baptism, it is all about repentance and forgiveness of sins. It is a change of life from within. John was teaching and rebuking these proud Jews and even those proud people today that your sins will be forgiven through faith and repentance, not doing something, not observance of the law. Because no one can perfectly observe the law. Amen. That was John's baptism. The question is this. How will a person come for repentance to God if there is no proclamation? That's why, ang ganda ho ng pagkasabi po ni Mark. He was baptizing, yes, but he was also proclaiming. He was what? Preaching. So John was a preacher. And John was considered a prophet of Israel. Now those, mark your, yung po mga Bible verses na to, the cross-reference there is Mark 11 and in Luke chapter 1. And as a prophet, he was preaching, and prophets are, I believe, primarily preachers. They are preaching. Now, prophecy, of course, there's the two kinds of prophecy, we call it foretelling, F-O-R-E. There's the unfolding, proclamation of unfolding of future events. And there's the foretelling, F-O-R-T-H, where there's the already word of God, and then you wanted to remind people about that word to call them to repentance and to call them to allegiance to Yahweh. That is what prophets do. They foretell, and they foretell. John was a prophet who tell about faith and repentance. He was called by God to call out the people to reaffirm their loyalty and their commitment to God's word and to God's will. John the Baptist was called by God to carry the message. And John has a message, and his message was about repentance and forgiveness of sins. Brethren, we came and we are committed to the long line of faithful preachers. John the Baptist got his message from Isaiah, from Malachi, and even sa panahon po ng mga naunang mga propeta, it is about allegiance, loyalty, commitment to God. If you sin, repent. Come to the Lord. And you know what, brethren? This is something that many people will maybe doesn't want to hear, want to know. Brethren, the Lord's message about repentance and faith, he did not diminish his message simply because no one was listening. There's a tendency, there's a temptation, maybe, when John, kunti na lang nakikinig. Naku, mapupugot ang ulo ko niyan. Nakatakot. Did John change the message? Did John go back to God and pray, Lord, this is so difficult. Maybe people will not affirm, we will not accept, we will not receive this message. It is a message of faith and repentance. It's a message that is so offensive. Lord, maybe we might want to diminish it. Might want to cancel it out. You might want to what? Change the message because, Lord, no one cares, eh? Brethren, this is our commitment. And this must be your commitment. Our commitment as a church is that even if no one is listening, we proclaim the word. We preach the word. And this is something that I experienced when I was traveling from Baguio to Alaminos and then going back to Baguio, I think, last year. Traveling to Baguio to Alaminos is 5 hours. And 5 hours is so much thinking while traveling, di ba? Habang nagbabiyahe ka, habang nagmamaneho ka, maraming pumapasok sa isipan mo. And there's a temptation na 5 hours, iwan mo yung pamilya mo, and then you go back for another 5 hours. It's a long day. At pagdating mo doon sa Alaminos, you will have a Bible study of 10 people, 10 persons. And you might think to yourself, Lord, tama ba yung ginagawa ko? Pwede pa ba? Kaya pa ba? Might be, may problema ata. Nakapagod na eh. And then pag pabalik ka na, right after you preach the gospel, you disciple those believers based on the Bible, and then dadaan ka, biglang merong pong samba ang mga kulto, ang dami-dami. Lord, buti pa sila. Iyan. Naiintindihan mo ba ninyo? Might be saying, Lord, maybe we change it. Maybe we add something so that it will be more appealing. Maybe as a missionary, you're already tired. No one is listening. No one cares. Maybe, Lord God, there's a problem with the content. Maybe something you put value to it by mentioning about, wow, good works, about projects. There's no problem with projects. These are springboards. But if you put them as part of the gospel, then you are already in a social justice controversy. There's a problem already. Because the gospel is what? The good news about whom? Jesus Christ. And that's the temptation of so many of us. And that's the temptation maybe of you as a parent. Wala naman, pinagawa to. Batuhan ko na yung anak ko. Wala pa rin eh. Pastor, ikaw na mag-disciple para ma-born again siya. Hindi. Sige lang, kapatid. I believe and you must believe that the gospel is the power of God indeed. Kung hindi ngayon, ang panahon, parang kanta, darating din po. Darating din po. The Lord did not diminish His gospel. The Lord did not water down His message simply because no one is already listening and no one cares. God is consistent. The Genesis account from the prophets, from Isaiah, from Malachi, even John the Baptist, a little detail in the Gospels, he was proclaiming what? Faith and repentance. Brethren, the message of repentance and grace, that is forgiveness of sin. When you ask forgiveness, you are asking for grace. So, we might be a counter, yung pong term, pwedeng palitan by saying grace, just to shorten po. The message of repentance and grace remains to be the priority of God. Faith and repentance go hand in hand. When times are changing, the message of God to sinners will forever be the same. Brethren, faith in Christ for the forgiveness of sin and godly repentance for the forsaking of sin must be the message in today's wilderness of sin. Pardon po yung pong repetition. I would just like to play the word here for emphasis. Faith in Christ, and that is asking forgiveness of sin. Godly repentance, and that is forsaking of sin, is the message in today's wilderness of sin. This must be the conviction of every missionary even if there's no fruit of your labor, just be faithful. And this is our commitment as pastors and leaders. Even if unbelievers will be offended, let the gospel offend them. And this must be the commitment of every worker, of every parent, of every discipler, of every individual of our church. This must be our conviction. It is about the gospel. It is about the faith in Christ and repentance. Faith in Christ and repentance. So John the Baptist was preaching. So are we. So are we. We need to proclaim the message of the gospel. And you know what, brethren? It fascinated me. And just fast forward. It fascinated me. John the Baptist could be estimated of life about, he died between 30 to 33 AD. Probably the early 31. You know what? After 20 years, in Acts chapter 19, there's a remnant of those who receive the message of John the Baptist. And it is fascinating because these people who were ministered by John the Baptist were from Ephesus. Acts chapter 19. We might not even see the blessing of our labor, brethren, but the message of commitment and faithfulness must be your highest priority. That must be your priority. Okay, last, who was John the Baptist? The profile or personality of this messenger. Let us read now in verse 5 to 6. And all the region of Judea was going out to him, and all the people of Jerusalem, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. And John was so unique that he was clothing with camel's hair, wore a leather belt around his waist, and was eating locusts and wild honey. Mark described this person as having a unique lifestyle because he lived in the wilderness. Therefore, he clothed himself with desert clothing. Diba? And maybe because of the terrain of the desert at that time, the Judean desert, marami po nagsasabi, masyadong dry. It was so dry. The stones are so sharp. So you have to put clothing that was so thick, maari. And in the evening, it is so cold. So you have to, so that it will warm your body. It could be, of course, given also that maybe wala nang washing machine doon. Bilis ang punas lang. And he also ate what? Desert food, locusts and wild honey. But this is fascinating to me. John was killed because of preaching repentance and faith. He was put to death because he has embraced the truth and love, the holy, righteous judgment of God over sin. He loved the gospel so much that he even sacrificed his life for this. His head was put in a plate. I'm not saying that you will be martyred, but of course, being faithful to the gospel would entail adversity and persecution. And remember, our context here, Mark was writing to the Roman Christians who were suffering from what? From adversity. And so by putting the life of John the Baptist, Mark was also encouraging these persecuted believers that wag ka nang magtaka, do not be surprised. If you are faithful, if you will be faithful, you must be faithful to the gospel, you will face persecution. In one way or the other, your life will be affected with the hate of this world. That is John the Baptist. And so there are lessons here, brethren, that we can apply to this message. First, let us put our hope and confidence in the inerrant word of God. Amen? Detail, small detail, but it talks so much about the character of God. And praise God, that is the Bible that you're holding. It is inerrant. It is no error. Walang pagkakamali. It is consistent. And we call it is sufficient. Build your hope. Build your confidence in the Word of God, not on the experience of men. We have looked at, kinignan po natin yan sa workers' retreat. Second, let us continue the legacy of faithful proclamation of the Word of God. Be faithful, brethren. Be faithful. Today, in a world of confusion, there's so much agenda now that is hitting the church. There's a lot of controversy with regards to missions. There's a lot of watering down already of the gospel. As a believer, as a committed Christian, as a follower of Christ, be faithful. Be faithful. And be faithful even if it will cost you. Commit yourself to this work despite challenges and opposition. Amen. May the Word of God minister to your hearts, brethren. And I hope and pray that your faith is strengthened because even in this detail, the life of John the Baptist. At itin po akong ituloy po hanggang sa aming pong series, but of course. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for your message. We thank you, Lord God, for your word. Your word is inerrant. There's no error. Your word is sufficient, and therefore it is authoritative. Help us, Lord God, to put our hope in your word, that we build our confidence around your word, that we do not borrow human-made strategies, Lord God, for us to be accommodated by the world. There's only one thing, there's only one task, Lord God, and that is your glory, and that task, Lord God, is to preach that glory in the gospel. Help us, Lord God, to be faithful, to continue with this legacy, Lord. The message we must carry, Lord God, as believers, must be like that of John's. And it is the message about faith in Christ and repentance. And as believers, Lord God, when difficulties and persecutions come, Lord, please help us. Help us persevere. Thank you, Lord God, for this word. Salamat po, Panginoon. And we pray, Father, as we give of our tithes and offering, even as we spend 5 minutes of sharing the highlights or our lessons learned, Lord God, from this message, we pray, Father God, that you minister to us. And even as we give of our tithes, thank you, Lord God, for your provisions. Use, Lord God, these offerings, Lord God, to further your kingdom and to support, Lord God, your workers for the honor of your name and for the good of your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Salamat po. God bless you po. Thank you.